Patriots Friday on WEEI is brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market and by FindMassMoney.gov.
Is there anything that Drake May can show in Sunday's preseason game against the Commanders that would lock him into that spot?
No. I don't think there's anything that he could do at this juncture. They are very committed to the plan. The plan is to have him sit, to go with the player that they trust and believe will put them in advantageous situations, even if Drake May has had an outstanding camp, which in the last 10 days he has had an outstanding camp. And say, we're going to stay the course with it. It's great that Drake is playing better. And it's too bad Jacoby's not playing as great as they are, even though Alex Van Pelt kind of put a little buff and shine on the recent performance of Brissett. But I don't think they're going to deviate from the plan that they set out, which was to develop the third overall pick.
The more I listen to that, the more it bothers me. And it's not Curran. It's not Curran just passing along what he's hearing about the team. This is going to sound like I'm mad at Curran, which sometimes I am, but not here. The more I hear about that, it's like, wow, Drake May's had a good 10 days. But what are the most important 10 days? Like, in other words, at this point, why does May matter? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I don't mean Drake May, M-A-Y-E. I mean the month of May. Why do May or June at this, no matter what happened, why do those matter? What's relevant about those? If May got past it and now he's outperforming Brissett, that just shows you the growth and the trajectory of a young quarterback and why there's value in playing a young quarterback, because there's upside. He will get better. Jacoby Brissett will not get better. Jacoby Brissett, he might get worse. He won't get better. He is what he is. We know what he is. We've seen what he is. Four, five, six different organizations have seen what he is. He's a losing quarterback his entire career. Mm-hmm. Never had a winning season.
And a high-end backup.
A high-end backup. He's been a losing quarterback everywhere he's been. Never had a winning season. He constantly loses quarterback battles. He's fine for 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month, if you need a spot starter because your actual starter got hurt. That's what he is. He won't get better. He is what he is. He'll probably get worse as the year goes along. May has the potential to get better. He has gotten better. And he's had a great camp for the last 10 days. So maybe that's a flash in the pan. Maybe that's just he happens to be playing better now. I would lean in on that and say maybe the kid's getting it. And maybe this is the beginning of his upward trajectory. And maybe this is the beginning of where he can go. And I would put way more stock in this level of the offseason, meaning preseason games, joint practices, the practices late in camp where you're getting to install and getting ready for games. I would put way more stock in this than May, June, July. And so I wouldn't just brush past it. And it sounds like the Patriots, not Curran, but the Patriots are just brushing past. It's like, oh yeah, well, he just happened to have a really good camp these last 2 weeks. Well, these are the most important weeks they've had so far. And this week and next week will be even more important than that. I would really emphasize and put more weight on this portion of the offseason, and I'm not sure that's what they're doing. It doesn't sound like that's what they're doing.
No, maybe not. I mean, they're talking about the big picture, I guess, and the totality of everything, but the totality of everything has led us to the point we're at now. I mean, that's really what it's all about. If you see a big, sweeping improvement and progression from one of your two quarterbacks and not from the other one, that's a good thing. You know, that's like a positive thing. Like, okay, the hierarchy starting to establish itself. You're starting to see the, you know, cream rise to the top here, which is what you want to see in a situation like this. You spent the third overall pick on the kid. You want to see him get better. This should be music to their ears. This should be the type of thing they were exactly what they were hoping for. And, you know, to sort of be going back, that sort of sounds to me like they're trying to justify it, right? Like, well, back in May and April, you know, this is what it looked like, and you can't forget about that. It's like, no, you can forget about that. Like, that was what was. This is what is. And
right.
This is what we're
do
doing.
I care?
The season starts in 2 weeks. Like, come on.
Like, this is like the Mac Jones people being like, oh, well, but in 2021, I'm like, who the hell cares about 2000? Have you seen him the last 2 years? Have you seen what he's been doing? Why on earth do we keep going back to 2021? Why are we going back to that?
And it's a little different from that, I think.
Okay, but it's the same idea. It's like, what's happening now matters more than what happened in May. What is relevant about the month of May?
Nothing.
They're installing its OTAs like it was important in real time because it's all we had. But now that it's done, we're past it, this stuff's more important.
Yes.
And next week will be more important than this week. I'm not blind to what happens next week. If May looks like trash in the game against the Commanders, I'll back down. But he's looked good every time I've seen him. So I don't get why there's not more weight on that. And it is the same idea as the Mac Jones stuff. It's like, well, I saw it in 2021. I saw it with Jacoby Brissett in May. great. I don't care. It doesn't matter anymore because Drake May is outperforming him.
Yeah. I mean, that's the long and short of it. I think that's what we were all expecting to have happen at some point. And yeah, maybe it wasn't happening back in April and May. Understandable. You know, you're talking about a 21-year-old who didn't even play that much in college, to be honest. And Jacoby Brissett, who's a grizzled veteran, who's been all around the league and who's been, you know, a starter and a backup and really seen the entire gamut of what a quarterback in the league can be, aside from winning anything, you know, like that's pretty much it. And there's value to that. There's value to having an experienced quarterback in that room. I thought someone like Jacoby Brissett would have been very valuable last year instead of Bailey Zappe and Mac Jones. I think if they had a veteran in that room, that may have helped a little bit. Or at the very least, you could have turned the things over to him and not worried that they had to learn on the job just like Zappe did. So I think that, you know, if you're doing that, if you're going that way, Brissett does have value as an experienced quarterback. Not as a starter. He just doesn't. There's no value there.
NFL Live just flashes preseason stats again, which just reminded me. He's 3-for-10 for 17 yards and a pick. So, like, maybe he'll crush it on Sunday night. It's a revenge game for Jacoby Brissett. They wouldn't play him last year.
Right.
They started Sam Howell every week. They wouldn't start him. So maybe he'll get even. I don't know. But he's been brutal in the preseason. And I would just I would lean in more on that than it sounds like the Patriots are. A couple of texts here. 37937. Number one, hey, Jones, where's the big Q at 2? I look forward to doing that every day. You guys are going to continue that, you and Hart?
Not sure.
Really?
Not sure. Probably not.
Okay, that's probably not.
I would say probably not. We haven't discussed that specifically, but I don't think so. I don't know. I mean,
apologies, texter, that we haven't done that the last couple of days. This one, I once called and begged Jeremy to put a stop to the long note.
Shout out Jeremy Conley.
Shout out Jeremy Conley.
Right? Yep.
Bring back everything but that. I'm sure people don't really know what we're referring to there. We had a little intro song that we would sing along to.
Mm-hmm.
Because Arcand and I are competitive. We would try to hold the note longer than the other.
Yes, circular breathing became a thing we both learned about.
Yeah, I mean, it led to literally almost passing out and blacking out.
Mm-hmm. I saw stars one night.
There was no
I actually
at the,
saw stars
at the end of that baseball season. Yeah. It was the happiest I ever was, and I said we need to continue the Dong Report, but that needs to stop.
Right.
That will kill somebody.
We left it all out on the field.
No, I mean we did. Yeah. We really did. It was hazardous to our health. there's also this. I want the creature feature to return. That's from the old Hardy and Troop program. Now, come on. That's not.
Okay.
That was not a Jones and Keefe staple or a Jones and anyone.
Good poll, though.
That's from a long time ago.
Yeah.
I can recall that in this very studio.
An old weekend many show, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. By the way, we have an update, Arcan, to my ongoing issue.
Oh.
Where, and again, this is not for our fantasy draft auction. Or our fantasy auction, rather. That'll be tomorrow. That's taking place tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
But a buddy of ours is in town from New York. So we've been haggling over where we get like one day a year to go out. We get like one day a year to go out. Tomorrow's the auction. We're all going to go out tonight. Where are we going? So many bars and restaurants have been kicked around. Think of any bar or restaurant in the state of a place that serves food or liquor in the state of Massachusetts. I'm thinking it's been suggested.
Mm-hmm.
There's probably a few from New Hampshire and Rhode Island that have been suggested. So just it's run the gamut of suggestions and arguments, and people are entrenched and dug in, and no one wants to go anywhere, and no one can agree. And this is why we just need somebody to pick. And democracy is not working in this case. We need a dictatorship. But I think we finally settled. You know what we're doing, Arkin?
What are we doing?
We're not going to a bar on a Friday night.
Oh,
I think we're now going to my buddy's house.
To a house? Is it just his house, or does he have like roommates?
Did you kick around the idea of everyone else's house before it's landing on that?
No, that's a good question. That's fair. We should have negotiated. My friend who came up from New York, we should have negotiated. He's got a hotel room. We should have negotiated that. I think we're all just going to my buddy's home. I think is what we're doing.
Okay.
So I think we settled on that. I don't know how. You know, I mean, look, I don't need to go out and get rowdy. I'm just surprised that's where we round
East Boston. So once you all get to East Boston, you can suggest going out.
Well,
in East Boston. There's a lot of places in East Boston.
I don't see us doing that. And it's not anti-East Boston or anything. I just think by the time we all schlep,
I would
all
get
the
there and immediately start bitching. Let's go out.
Well, I'm the opposite. I'm going to schlep all the way over there, and by the time I get there, I'm going to be like, "You want me to move again? I already got all the way to East Boston. You want me to go somewhere now?" And so I'm going to bitch and complain about that. And so that's not where we've settled. I will say this. And somebody tell me and suggest if there's something greater than this. I'm 40 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I'm a married man. I have a son, a 6-year-old going into first grade. Okay. This is my life situation. And so is there anything I should
make it sound so great?
Is there anything I should, this is what it's come to. Is there anything I should look forward to more than my fantasy football auction, like in life. Is there anything, because I kind of feel like this is my Christmas day.
Father's Day, I don't know, maybe like.
Father's Day?
Yeah, Father's Day, I get to do whatever I want.
What?
Yeah.
Father's Day, I'm lucky if I get to watch the back nine of the U.S. Open.
Father's Day, I get left alone.
Father, if I'm left alone for the back nine of the U.S. Open, and like I crack a couple of beers by myself, that's a dream Father's Day.
Also, I've only had two Father's Days, so maybe that's going to change
this
in
is
the
true.
Future. I mean, so
this
far it's true. Been nice, but like, yeah, I don't know.
So like, and you said this before, Father's Day, Mother's Day just couldn't be more opposite.
Not
like
even
Mother's
close,
Day,
yeah.
It's like, don't even let, I want to sleep in. I'm going to do this. I'm going out. I'm doing this with my friends. I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to do anything. Bah! That's Mother's Day. Father's Day, it's like, if I get, you know, two Coors Lights to myself on the back nine of the U.S. Open, it's tremendous. It's the greatest day of the year. Runner-up only to my fantasy auction. This is my Super Bowl arcade. This is my Christmas Day. Is there something else I should look forward to more than this? Because if there is, I can't think of it.
Do you have friends that are like not married yet, but on track to maybe get married sometime soon?
I'm past looking forward to weddings.
You don't like
you
that.
Still look forward to a wedding?
I do, yeah. I like a wedding. I had a great time at Mego's wedding.
You did. I mean, I had a lovely time at the. It was really the after wedding, is really what it was. It wasn't the original wedding, but it was the next day's
wedding. The thing we were allowed to go to.
Yeah, right. The thing that we were allowed to come to.
For what you could remember, you had a good time.
Oh, no. And then there's that. There's two layers to this. We weren't at the real.
I closed that bar. Though.
We weren't at the real wedding, and then
the
I didn't make it super far into the wedding. So there's all these elements. You still. How old are you?
I'm 42.
Okay.
I have a wedding coming up in the fall. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Okay, weddings are just...
love weddings.
Now, maybe we're going to get into second weddings, and I'll catch a second wind on second weddings.
Vow renewals for the couples that are in trouble, you know?
Let me tell you, this has come up. We just did our ninth anniversary, Arcan. Our 10th is coming up, and the idea of vow renewals has been kicked around.
Oh, no.
Which I
didn't realize your marriage was in such trouble.
I don't appreciate that. I don't like the idea of like I got to do that again. I spent some time on this, not a lot of time.
Remind me again the lifelong commitment you made to me.
I'm not saying I spent a lot of time on my vows, but I spent some time. You know, like 5 minutes.
I didn't do anything. The priest did it. I just said I do.
So you didn't do any.
We
of
didn't
your
write
own,
our vows.
You didn't do any of your own vows.
Mm-mm. That's frowned upon in the Catholic Church.
Ah,
they want you to do what they tell you to say. You know, so that's what we did.
Huh.
I would have written great vows, but that was not the way they wanted to go.
So you're saying what you said to your wife on your wedding day was fed to you?
Yes.
Yes.
Fed to me
and it wasn't an original idea.
By the man of the cloth, yes. he could have said anything I would have said I do to him. What am I going to ruin everybody's day?
Yeah, what are you, not going to have faith in the Catholic Church?
Come on.
What have they ever done wrong?
In Boston?
Yeah, seriously. What have they ever done wrong? Like, why would you question that?
Yeah.
So you didn't even do your own vows. So
we did not, no.
Okay, so wedding, definitely not. I can't think of something I'd look forward to more. I can't believe you're not even in one fantasy football league.
I know.
I don't need to be in 18 billion. I used to be in a lot of fantasy baseball leagues. Used to be in a lot of fantasy basketball leagues. Used to be in a lot of fantasy football leagues.
I used to be in all sorts of
I'm literally in one league. This is it. This is all I'm in. This is it. And I don't look forward to anything else more than this auction, I don't think.
The best is when you're in multiple leagues and they're both in the same week. That's
both
fun.
Drafts are in the
same
league.
I don't like that.
Yeah. I'm so excited for
it. Let me tell you. I mean, gambling is close to it. I do like gambling, too. That happens daily and certainly in the NFL season, at least weekly.
You know what I would look forward to?
So I also look forward to that.
When they sent us to Springfield for March Madness, that was fun. I was like, I hope we're doing that again.
That was fun.
Got like a hotel room.
You know what?
Went to the Hall of Fame. Like that was. I enjoyed that.
I hope you and Hart enjoy it.
Yeah.
So that is something to look forward to. That's true. But no, I can't think of something more. Is there another thing I should be looking forward to more in my life? And don't give me like, anniversary. Oh, your kid growing up.
Dan Johnson.
Yeah, don't give me stupid stuff like that.
Anniversary.
So don't give me anything like that. Like life milestones. I've had plenty of life milestones. My kid's been born. I've been married. Yeah, all these things. I got it. I got life milestones, you know, coming out of my ears. Fantasy auction, number one, with a bullet. 617-779-7937. More your phone calls coming up. Joe Braverman with all the latest here in trending. I want to get more into rookie quarterbacks and what we learned about playing them early. That's next.
Look, Jacoby's going to start the game off. Drake will play as well. Joe will play as well. There's a nugget. Boom. You're welcome.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Now you guys can sleep. Zappy will play. Zappy will play. But hold on, one thing. One thing. We do have some players, you know, dealing with small things that probably won't play and get ready for the regular season. Some of our proven players, there you go. All right. Fantastic. Now you guys can sleep at night.
Hey. That's starting to annoy me with Mayo. It's like, see, I gave you something. Aren't you happy? Aren't you so happy I gave you borderline worthless information, which I'll prefer that we got. I said this earlier in the show, and it's Jones and Arcan today on WEEI. No, Mayo, she has scheduled day off. Yesterday was our final show. together with Mego. Lineup changes, if you're unfamiliar with them, here at WEEI. You can go check it out. It's on the Odyssey app. We've talked about it a lot this week. Plenty of places. Google it. You can find it. When it comes to that situation, though, I'm like, I got so annoyed with Bill over the years not sharing anything. And I still would rather have the information Mayo gave us than not. I don't think there's any downside, especially in the preseason, for God's sakes. I don't think there's any downside to doing what Mayo did. Mm-hmm. It's just that extra, like, oh, yeah, aren't you so thankful? Now you can sleep at night. You know, that's more than you ever got. I forget what he was saying that about last week or the week prior, but he's like, oh, yeah, that's more than you ever got for the last 20 years, so be happy with it. I'm starting to get a little annoyed with that. Like, don't pat yourself on the back too
You're
much.
You're welcome.
Yeah, that's what he's doing.
Yeah.
For just telling us that Jacoby Brissett's going to start a preseason game. It's like, oh, thanks a lot, Gerard. Like, I don't need either. There should be a place in the middle of those two things where it's like, you can tell us who the starting quarterback is and not, like you said, pat yourself on the back for it and be like, aren't you so happy I'm giving you this morsel of information?
Yeah, and it's also like, you know, at the beginning, Mayo sort of, his whole idea was, listen, I'm going to be transparent with you guys, and that's the new way things are going to be done around here. That's the way I want things to be done around here. I want to have a relationship with the media that the previous guy didn't have, really, and I want it to be sort of a give and take and a back and forth. And now he's like, yeah, well, here's a little something for you, since you jackals won't stop hounding me. And it's like, I thought there was supposed to be a give and take, you know, like I thought you were going to be transparent and open. And in some ways, he kind of has been, in the sense that he's willing to speak. He's willing to, but he just keeps on going and going and going. And then by the end of it, you're like, well, wait a minute. Did you answer the question? Like, who's going to start? And now he did answer the question there, and you know who's going to start. And that's sort of what I thought, like, the bare minimum of what he was saying in the very beginning was going to be, right? Like, yeah, okay, you want to have a big, transparent relationship with the media, and now you're basically demanding a pat on the back for telling you who's starting a preseason game. So, yeah, that the whole thing shifted a little bit. Like, with Mayo, I think in his head, and in everybody's head, the idea of being so different from Bill and doing things completely different from him and making sure everybody, you know, knows it's Mayo's team and not just the carryover from Bill made sense in his head. But then you sort of realize, okay, Bill did this for a long time. He was successful. And some of this stuff, there may have been, you know, a little bit of a reason for, you know, like maybe it wasn't always necessary, but maybe there was a reason why he wasn't forthcoming on all this stuff.
Who should start?
Who should start on Sunday?
The final preseason game. Who should
start? I think Drake May should start the game, but I also would rather see more of him. You know, I'd rather see him out there. If it's between him starting or him playing the second and third quarter, it's a hockey game now, I guess, then I'd rather see more of him, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
Unless it has some bearing on what happens in week one. If he's starting in week one because he's starting in this game, then yeah, fine, start the game. But if it's no difference, then I'd rather see more of him, whatever that entails.
Yeah, I'm with you. Drake May should start this game. And I guess it's probably a good sign he's not for the competition. Like, if Brissett was getting the final game off and May was starting, wouldn't we look at it and go, that's a tell that Jacoby Brissett's the week one starter?
Right.
So maybe, as I think about it, the better sign is that it's still a competition, it's still a battle, Brissett's still getting reps. But I would like to see Drake May start a game and go against the closest thing he can to starters for the Commanders on defense. I know Jaden Daniels isn't playing, so I'm assuming a lot of the starters on offense aren't playing. I guess I haven't read up enough on how they're starting that game with their defense. But either way, the best players that the Commanders are going to play, he'll get them by starting the game. And I do think it's largely been a level field who May has gone against and who Brissett's gone against in these preseason games. Neither of them, have faced a starting defense. This hour of Jones and Arcan on WEEI, brought to you by your New England Ford dealers. Make it the best summer ever by joining the Ford Bronco family or getting the made-for-you New England Edition F-150. It's the official truck of the Boston Red Sox. A couple of texts here. 37937. Bar suggestions. People are assuming they've come up with a bar that hasn't been suggested.
Mm-hmm.
Got to hit the Burren, Jones, please. Burren was suggested, you know, hours and hours and hours ago, please. A new one that we haven't mentioned yet.
That's not near East Boston. I guess it's not that far.
No, we're just winding up in East Boston. We could go anywhere. We could go anywhere. And it's turned into quite a thing. Let me see. Our buddy Joe in Rhode Island says, Jones, you can look forward to drinking and bowling. Should I take up bowling, Arcan? Is this something I need to look forward to?
Like bowling's cool.
Like
yeah.
A bowling league?
I haven't gone bowling in a long time, but I like bowling, yeah. Usually get free beer. Not free beer, but cheap beer at a bowling alley.
Yeah, definitely not free, but I hear what you're saying.
Get like a pitcher for $8
or something. That's my style of drinking, like a light beer out of a pitcher. That's my style of drinking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Can I go out once a week, like every Tuesday or whatever, in my bowling league? Can I get that to fly?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like I can.
Probably not.
I feel like I can.
And you're not a golfer.
Not a golfer.
No. Might want to take that up. That's a big, long chunk of the day. I don't even golf either, but like I'm starting to think like this might be something I do now.
I don't think I need a hobby. I'm not saying I need a hobby. I'm just saying, what do I look forward to more than my fantasy football auction? Because it's like, it's just the guys. Mm-hmm. We're drinking. We're talking smack. And, you know, there's fantasy football on top of it. So it's something I could like follow all year long. I'm not sure there's anything else at this point in my life I look forward to more. Somebody suggested birthdays. I don't look forward to a birthday.
Birthdays, you know.
Birthday.
That's not like I don't want anything anymore, you know? Like when it comes to like birthdays when you're a kid, it's like, oh, I want this, this, okay. And this. You get to a certain age, it's like, well, I don't want anything.
So I turned 40 this past year. We all went out. Yeah. Did I get a gift? I don't think I got a gift. If I did, like, it's like, am I still getting, like, I get gifts for Kat every birthday, but I don't expect a thing on my birthday.
Yeah.
And I don't think I get anything.
Cindy gets me stuff on my, like, you know, present or same thing for her. You
like
know?
What?
Let's see.
A nice book.
Trying to think. What I get for my birthday.
Like a nice apron to grill in, a little chef's hat.
She got me an Xbox for our anniversary this year.
Oh, that's nice.
Because I told her I wanted to get that college football game. And I was like, I can't get it because I had an Xbox One, which I didn't realize wasn't the new Xbox. I've had it for like a long time.
You had an Xbox for your anniversary.
Yeah, and she got me an Xbox X or whatever it is, the new one, and that you can play NCAA on.
Do you feel like you...
I played it like three times.
Do you feel like you gave the equivalent of the same gift?
That
seems like a good anniversary gift.
It was a good anniversary gift. I've been pretty good with gifts, too, though, in general.
Okay.
Although this year she'd be... This year I just sent her flower because I was in Colorado. And I sent flowers.
He's about to say she beat me, which is this is how I look at it. It's competition now.
It definitely is.
My anniversary is a competition. Who's getting somebody a better
gift? Wait, you reciprocated an Xbox with flowers.
Well, the flowers came first, and then she gave me the Xbox, so it wasn't...
You were set up to fail on that
one. I kind of was.
That was a test. Yeah, that was a test. It's like, hey, I'm getting him an Xbox. He better get me something. He doesn't know he's getting an Xbox, but he better get me something good. And you got flowers.
Mm-hmm.
I had flowers.
They were nice flowers.
Flowers are a lovely anniversary gift.
Yeah.
You know,
not equal as an Xbox.
It's not equal to an Xbox. That's true.
Okay, but do you get the equivalent of an Xbox every year?
No.
Right. So this might have been a little out of left field.
It's been jewelry for her, which has cost more than the Xbox.
Feels like a test.
Yeah.
Feels like a test. I know a test when I see one.
I'm now like a couple games back in the wild card standings. I gotta string some wins together. Hope she has a couple losses, and then maybe I can get back up.
And you're waiting for a couple of reinforcements.
Right. Yeah.
You're waiting for Justin Slayton and Liam Hendricks.
A couple guys to come off the DL. You know, trade deadline didn't go how I wanted it to.
That's a good point. Oh, this is a good one. You can look forward to Big Brother. That's true. I do look forward to Big Brother. Mm-hmm. That's true. Wild eviction last night. Wild one.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
The Boston guy you like?
Joe Braverman knows what I'm talking about. No. He was HOH, Arcan. You can't evict the HOH. Everybody knows that.
I know what that stands for.
Joe's in Randolph. Go ahead, Joe.
Yeah, hi, fellas.
Hi, Joe.
I don't know. I guess some folks don't get it. I think with this O-line that we have and the receivers that we have, I don't know, if you start May in 2 years, we're going to have deja vu all over again with Mac Jones. You're going to see a reincarnation of that. And I think, you know, the defenses are so far ahead of the offenses at the start of the season. I think you're really going to get Mac killed if you put May in the start of the season.
I don't get the Mac Jones stuff on any count. Like, Drake May is nothing like Mac Jones from a trait standpoint, talent standpoint, any of that.
Mac Jones also had a very good, good rookie year.
No, that's the other piece to it. It's like, so from a trait standpoint, I don't see it. May is bigger. He's got a stronger arm. He's more mobile. So, like, they're nothing alike as a quarterback. And you're now holding up as the evidence against Drake May, Mac Jones' rookie year, which I think was overrated, and I think the wheels came off late in his rookie year, but it was the best year he had.
Yep.
So that's weird to me to uphold that and cite that as a reason not to play Drake May. That would be a reason to play Drake May,
sure.
I think.
And it was one of the, in the last 10 years anyway, is from those stats I had earlier, it was one of the better turnarounds that any team had with a rookie quarterback.
So give me some of those again. These are interesting stats, and I think they tell a story that admittedly I like. The takeaway, I like the result. It reaffirms my stance on this. But what did you learn looking at the last 10 years, Arcan? First-round quarterbacks who played a sizable chunk of the year Was it better or worse for their teams?
Generally, it was better. Generally, it was better. There's a bunch of examples of when the team got worse, and there's some, you know, mitigating factors, I think, for both ends, for getting better and for getting worse here, you could say. But starting with Blake Bortles and the Jags back in 2014, he went third overall, and that team got one game worse. They went from 4-12 to 3-13. And so I decided to look at all these quarterbacks, and there's about, you know, Winston, Mariota, Goff, Wentz, Trubisky, Mayfield. I didn't include Mahomes and Watson or Trey Lance or, you know, guys that didn't play their rookie year. I'm talking about guys who played enough.
You said this before, and I meant to ask this. Watson did play his rookie year.
He did, but he only played, like, I think 5 or 6 games.
Oh, because he got hurt.
Yeah.
Right. He was in early, but then he got hurt. That's true.
Yeah, I know that Allen got hurt, too, but he played more than that. So I don't know. It's all sort of arbitrary. It's my list, so whatever.
Yeah, good. No, bend the numbers to make it work. Good.
Exactly.
I like it.
Basically, if you add them all up, if you add up every single one of them and average it between the 21, I think, quarterbacks there were that were drafted and actually played their rookie year in the last 10 years, you add it all up. And you generally, the average change for a team the year before drafting the rookie quarterback and the year after that is plus one win.
Good.
And there's been a lot of positive first-year turnaround. C.J. Stroud was just one last year. That was a 3-13 team that went 10-7 the next year. Baker Mayfield with the Browns back in 2018. That was an 0-16 team, 7-8-1 his rookie year. Tua got benched, so I don't necessarily count that one, but that was a 5-game increase from the year before. They went from 5-11 to 10-6. Jameis Winston's Buccaneers back in 2015 went from 2-14 to 6-10. And Mac Jones and the Patriots. It was a 7-win team, and they won 10 games, made the playoffs, Max rookie year. So there's plenty of examples of that. A lot of guys, you know, came in. It was like maybe one win, two wins. Justin Herbert, that was 2 wins. Trevor Lawrence, that team went from 1-15 to 3-14. Even Zach Wilson, you know, which is very recent, a 2-14 team. They went 4-13 after his rookie year. So there's a lot of positives. Even if it's not a great quarterback, even if it wasn't a great team, it didn't ruin anything. And in some cases, they got better. Now, there were some negative ones, too. And if you notice, some of these names, Jared Goff, when the Rams drafted him, they were a 7-9 team. His rookie year, they went 4-12. Josh Allen, which I just mentioned with the Bills in 2018, 9-7 his the year before, 6-10 his rookie year, and he did get hurt, but he played a good amount. And then there's a Young from last year. I wanted to say Vince Young, and obviously that's not right. Bryce Young. Bryce Young last year, that was a 7-10 Panthers team that had the first overall pick, and they were 2-15 his rookie year. So that was a backslide. But generally, I mean, Goff and Allen, you know, even if you lose a couple of games, those two ended up being very good quarterbacks.
So here are my takeaways. And number one, underscore your point again. On average, even with all the mistakes in there and the quarterbacks who couldn't really play, on average, you improve by a game by starting a rookie and playing them the bulk of their first year, assuming they're a first-round pick. Mm-hmm. Okay, now, that's not a lot, but that's the average.
Yeah, and there's outliers of dramatic turnarounds, but generally it's a couple of games.
But the average is you get better by a game. So you're better off playing a rookie on these teams drafting in the first round. You're better. Now, you could say these teams had nowhere to go but up in some cases.
It's true.
But you highlighted a few of these where that's definitely not the case. Like, some of these teams, you know, had other places to get worse and margin in there, and a lot of them got better. Not all of them, but a lot of them got better. So you might have an outlier. You might have C.J. Stroud or Baker Mayfield, which to me means your ceiling this year is 8, 9, 10 wins. That's possible.
Yep.
We can debate how likely it is, whether it's a half a percentage point or 10% or somewhere in there. But that's within the range of outcomes that you have your Baker Mayfield, your C.J. Stroud, and you improve by 7 wins this year. That's possible. Furthermore, you just highlighted two of these names, and the third one, the jury's still out. We've only seen 1 year of Bryce Young.
But it was a bad year, but yeah.
The biggest drop-offs were Goff. Goff was miserable as a rookie.
Mm-hmm.
He wound up getting the Rams to a Super Bowl, and he switched teams. You know, he's not like, it wasn't a perfect pick by the Rams, but he got the Rams to a Super Bowl. He wasn't good enough to win it. They couldn't get over the hump. They had to go out and get Stafford. But then Goff got the Lions, the effing Lions, to the NFC title game. So Goff can play. They didn't ruin him. Mm-hmm. His rookie year would be the point. And that's a guy who looked completely, totally ruined as a rookie.
Right. And the guy who was drafted right after him, Carson Wentz, that team got better.
Yeah.
And Wentz is like out of the league now. So
Goff wasn't ruined. And that's one of the biggest drop-offs in there. So, okay, fine. Maybe you do drop off a little bit with Drake May. You didn't ruin Goff. The Bills didn't ruin Josh Allen. A lot of people thought Josh Allen couldn't play as a rookie. He wasn't ready to play as a rookie. They threw him out too early. Turns out that wasn't the problem at all with Josh Allen. That Bills team dropped off. He was 4-5 as a starter, or 5-6. I forget. He's one game under .500 himself. The team dropped off. By year two, they were a 10-win team. By year three, they were winning playoff rounds and advancing, and he was an MVP candidate.
And now they're losing to the Chiefs every year.
Okay, but so he hasn't won a Super Bowl yet, but, like, what are we talking about? If your name's not Brady or Patrick Mahomes, pretty much over the last two decades, you haven't won. Mix in Peyton Manning here and Ben Roethlisberger there. Pretty much you haven't won if that's not your name. So if that's the standard we're holding him to, then we're talking about the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Allen can clearly play. Goff can play. So even the guys who were the biggest drop-offs, there was still, I think, value in playing them early. They didn't help your team. That could be a byproduct. It's a byproduct in a lot of these cases. Mm-hmm. And even in a worst-case scenario where you drop off, these guys aren't broken. Jury's out on Bryce Young. Let's see. Let's see with Bryce Young. They got five games worse last year. Is he Goff where he bounces back in year two? He gets a competent coach with him. You know, Goff eventually got McVay, as opposed to the mess that was Jeff Fisher. Maybe Canales helps Bryce Young this year, and he bounces back. Maybe not. Maybe he's ruined. Maybe he can never play. We'll find out. But I still think even in two of the worst scenarios there, the guy wound up being a quarterback who, in the case of Goff, got the Rams to a Super Bowl, or in the case of Allen, has them competitive year in and year out.
Yeah, and, you know, that's a couple of great examples there of how it can swing that way or the other. It's also, you know, the quarterback, the team can win or lose games. Sometimes it's just the eye test, you know, like we keep bringing up Justin Herbert. That team did get better. They went from 5-11 to 7-9. But even though that wasn't a dramatic turnaround and they weren't in the playoffs that year, you watched Justin Herbert and thought this kid's ready to be, you know, he's ready to go out there and succeed. And you didn't necessarily think that was Zach Wilson. And that team got two games better, too. Like Zach Wilson sucked. But that team went from 2-14 to 4-13, which is the same, you know, change that you got with Herbert and the Chargers. So, like, it's the eye test, too, with the quarterback. What does the quarterback look like? Is the team around him winning games? Okay, that may have something to do with him. But how does he look? And if he looks good, then you can deal with a loss or two. You know, you can deal with it not being a great season.
There's a lot of Herbert, I think, hate around here. People are like, oh, yeah, Justin Herbert's so good. We get that all the time here. I think it's for two reasons. The first reason I think is fair, but I think it's overstated. He hasn't won a playoff game.
Right.
That's fair. He hasn't. So why hasn't he? Should he have won more than he has? Like, that to me is a fair criticism. I just think it's a little silly because he's a franchise quarterback. I think if you watch him, he's clearly a franchise quarterback. He may never win a Super Bowl. He might not be a winner. We'll find out. And he hasn't been to this point, inarguable. But he's a franchise quarterback. And you'd feel really good if Justin Herbert were your quarterback. So if we're talking about this like the Patriots were in the Super Bowl every year and you still had Tom Brady, fine, Justin Herbert's never won anything. I get that perspective. Now that you've had to watch Mac Jones and Cam Newton the last couple of years, you still turn your nose up at Justin Herbert? I think that's dumb. The other element to it is that Herbert stunk head-to-head with the Patriots, which is true. Herbert has never done anything against the Pats in any of these games. He hasn't.
They did win
last year. He's never done anything individually. He finally won, and it was 6-0 in the rain against my guy Bailey Zappi. That's all that's happened. That's all he's ever done.
That was a tough game to watch.
It was. So that
might have been the worst game of the season last year.
Ooh,
6-0.
The Jets one was worse.
That was bad, but it wasn't 6-0.
The Jets one was worse, Arcan. You couldn't even see it.
It's true.
It was just snow all over the screen.
I lost my bet on that last run. Oh God, I was so mad. I had a bet that there'd be no touchdowns in that game, and I was counting the money already. And then Brees saw that jerk.
It's true. That's a bad way to lose. That's a bad loss.
That was a bad beat. Yeah.
But when it comes to Justin Herbert, I think that's why you hear that. Those two reasons. One's valid. The other, I don't really care about. Bill's not here anymore, and just because he didn't play well against you doesn't mean he can't play. 617-779-7937. More your feedback coming up. We have Triple Play next.
It's going to be a Triple Play.
It's time for the Triple Play.
Yes! Triple Play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mago.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triple certainly is best. The Triple Play today is brought to you by the Prime Rib Dinner, back at the 9. 16 ounces of slow-roasted USDA Choice Prime Rib, served with two sides, Friday and Saturday after 4, and all day Sunday. You gotta love the 9s. Well, it's Friday here, so it's our last fill-in-the-blank Friday here on the Triple Play. It's brought to you by the 99, so let's get it started with our first fill-in-the-blank.
Number one.
We'll go back to the Patriots and their preseason opener. Arcan, I'll go to you first. After Sunday's preseason finale, Jerod Mayo will have a blank decision about the starting quarterback.
I'm going to say an easy decision. I think regardless, it's going to be an easy decision. One way or another, you're going to see and the eye test is going to tell you that either Drake May absolutely killed it and he has to be the guy, and I think that there will be maybe a little bit of nudging from ownership if that's the case. And if it's not that, if Drake May and Jacoby Brissett are roughly the same, or, you know, one's slightly better than the other but not enough to really to make an impact, that'll be an easy decision for Jacoby Brissett because that's what they wanted to do this entire time. So I think either way, the decision's not going to be a tough one.
Yeah, he won't make a decision. It's not his decision. He's told us it's not his decision. It's up to Van Pelt. It's up to the whole offensive coaching staff. Don't forget about Ben McAdoo and Elliot Wolf and Alonzo Highsmith and, of course, Jonathan and Robert, and don't forget about Robin Glazer. So it's not going to be his call. And so even if it is his call, he's going to scapegoat somebody else with it. It should be his call. Doesn't sound like he wants it, or doesn't sound like he has the power to make it for whatever reason. So I think he has no decision. I don't think it's up to him.
All right, let's go to our second fill in the blank then.
Number two.
We'll stay with the Patriots and their preseason finale. Jones, I'll go to you for this one. Outside of the quarterbacks, the Patriot that I'm paying attention to the most during the preseason finale is blank.
I said this earlier, and I'll stand by it. It's Javon Baker. I think Baker's on the team. He's not going to get cut. He's a fourth-round pick. But it does sound like he's moving down the depth chart. Chad Graff discussed that this week. Bedard discussed that this week. I think others have pointed out that it seems like he's now working in a lower grouping at training camp than he was. Last week in the preseason game, he kind of sucked. He dropped the biggest play of the game for Drake May, anyway, down the field. Would have been a difficult catch. I mean, he's going to the ground, but it's a catch an NFL receiver makes. And the other one, he was running out of bounds. He didn't give May enough room to make a play on the sideline. So those were two downgrades for Baker in that game. I want to see how he looks tonight. I want to see who he's playing with. I feel pretty good about the rest of the receiving core. Pop Douglas, Jalen Polk. You know, we'll see when Kendrick Bourne gets back. I don't really care about KJ Osborne or Tyquan Thornton or guys like that. Where does Javon Baker fit in, and does he bounce back? That's what I want to see in this preseason game on Sunday.
I have a couple of names on this list that I'm going to be looking for, but the one I'm going to be looking at the most is Christian Gonzalez, because this is a guy who I think a lot was expected of this year, considering how well, how good he looked last year in the three whatever games he played before he went down with the injury. And everything I've seen and read about him, and every, you know, play I've seen in any of these games, he's out there getting run. I mean, he's not looked like that same guy. And maybe that was a bit of a mirage. You know, it was only a couple of games. We all drew a lot of conclusions about him based on, you know, that one play of Tyreek Hill in that Dolphins game where he had safety help over the top, but he still made the play. And I was expecting him to have a big bounce back year where he just comes out and he kills it right away. And him and Jonathan Jones and, you know, those two safeties, which is probably the strength of this team in that secondary right there, were out there making things tough on opposing receivers and opposing quarterbacks and everything else. But so far, he's been, or he's looked anyway, like a guy that's struggling to get back to that form that he had as his rookie year early on in the season. And I'd like to see if that continues, because I think there's a lot expected from him.
I'll be honest, I always thought his form in his rookie season was overrated. Like, I joked about him being Sauce Gonzalez. He's not Sauce Gardner. People were talking about him like he was. He moves really well. I think he was fine. In his four games before he got, I think he was fine. But I remember coming in after the Eagles game and going, look, those are good receivers over there. A.J. Brown's good. Devontae Smith is good. But he gave up a lot of plays. Which game did he have the pick in? Was it the Dolphins game?
Yeah, he had a pick when he was defending Tyreek Hill.
But it was like a pop fly. It was like way underthrown. It was like, you know, I'm not saying he did nothing on it, but I just thought people overrated how he looked. I'm not telling you he's a bad player. I'm not telling you he can't be good. He could be the best player on their defense. I'm not saying any of that. But I thought people overrated how he looked for four games, and just consider him, to your point, Arcan, like he's a lock. Like, you know what he is, and he's a number one corner, and he's a stud. I think way too many people put him in that group. He might be. He could be. I need to see way more of it, so I think that's a good name to keep an eye on.
That's why they play the game. Exactly. Let's go to our third fill in the blank.
Number three.
We'll go to the Red Sox here. They're starting a three-game set this weekend against the Arizona Diamondbacks. This is the last of their quote-unquote gauntlet schedule. All the tough opponents that they've had. And they now trail 3.5 games, the Royals and the Twins. They're tied for those spots, the second and third wild card spot. Sox are 3.5 back of both. So, Arcan, the Red Sox, after this weekend against the Diamondbacks, need to be blank games back in the wild card race.
They need to be, or they will be. Okay, I think they need to be, you need to be looking at like 2.5 games. I think that's what you need to be at. Now, Arizona's the hottest team in baseball right now. They're absolutely on fire. And it seems like the Red Sox keep running into these hot teams. Houston was the hottest team in the league until the Red Sox beat them 2 out of 3 in Houston. So, maybe this is the time when they cool cool them off. Arizona going across the country to Boston like that, that could be it. You know, they got a pretty good gauntlet. Zach Gallen they got. I think tonight it's Ryan Nelson and Merrill Kelly's pitching on Sunday. So, you know, you got three pretty good guys there for Arizona, and that's a team that's just clicking right now and pretty much a lock, I'd say, in that National League wild card. So it may not be as urgent for them. You know, they may sort of think, okay, we can take it easy here. The Red Sox certainly have the urgency. They need to get to 2.5 games.
So I was going to say under 3, so it's the same number. And again, need, I guess we can debate this, but like, where would I feel good coming out of the weekend if there's a 2 in front of how many games they're back? I mean, I'd feel even better if it was a 1.5, one sure. game, something like that. But if you come out and it's under 3, I feel like you're making progress. I just feel so much better about that. I said the other day, 4.5 feels like almost 5. That feels too far. 2.5? You're a couple of games out. That feels doable. That feels like you can make it up. And I understand it's all mathematically possible,
mm-hmm.
but how realistic is it? And I think it's an important thing for the Red Sox to do early on in September. Put pressure on Kansas City in particular, but to Joe's point, Kansas City and Minnesota. Start making up ground now to apply pressure and see how a team like Kansas City handles it. I'm not telling you the Red Sox have David Ortiz, John Lester, Curt Schilling, Pedro. They don't. But I think they're a little more battle-tested than Bobby Witt Jr. and guys like this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Devers has won a World Series. He's been in the middle of that before. Not a lot of guys on this roster have, but at least they have a guy like that.
Yeah.
So I would put the pressure on Kansas City and see how they handle it. And not that it's up to the Red Sox to do that, but I think that would be beneficial. Do it early. Do it now. Do it against a quality opponent. You just split with the Orioles. You just took 2 out of 3 from Houston. Take 2 out of 3 again. Hopefully you've made up a game. Hopefully it's under 3, and I would feel pretty good about that.
Royals have a tough schedule coming up, too. They got Philly this weekend, then they're in Cleveland, in Houston, home against Cleveland, home against the Twins, and then at New York Yankees all the way up till the first 2 weeks of September. So that's a tough one. I mean, that's
it is.
Red Sox had a tough gauntlet. That's a tough gauntlet for Kansas City there.
And the Sox have 5 next week after the Arizona series because they're making up suspended game with the Blue Jays on Monday, so that's
right.
A day-night doubleheader, and then 3 more. Which, by the way, Danny Jansen's making history. Alex Cora says he's going
to
catch.
I have tickets to that game. I was at that game when it was rained out, so I have tickets
to that
game.
Why is that history that he's going to catch in the game?
Because he started the game with Toronto.
You don't know the story? He was on Toronto. I think he was at the plate for Toronto. Yeah.
It was his at-bat?
I believe so, yeah. He was in the lineup for Toronto. Now he's going to be on the Red Sox side playing against Toronto in that game. You don't read about this?
No.
When the Red Sox acquired him, this is a big story at the time. Like, ooh, circle this date. And the only reason I remember it probably, and you don't, is because I have tickets to the game. It's the only reason it stood out in my mind. So TBD, whether or not I'll witness baseball history on Monday after the big Jones and Keefe debut or re-debut here at 10 o'clock on WEEI. In the Twitch chat, it scrolled by very quickly, but he did very well, Gonzalez. Against my guy Sauce Gonzalez, against AJ Brown and Devontae Smith. Agree to disagree. He did really well against Tyreek Hill. Again, that one is a little fuzzier for me. I thought he had the pick in that game, but I remember it being a pop fly pick. Agree to disagree on that one, but maybe you're right about the Miami game. I feel strongly about the Eagles. I remember coming in and talking about it the next day. He also said CeeDee Lamb and the Cowboys. I'm not sure you remember the Cowboys game.
I know they got their ass kicked in that game.
How could you tell? That's what I was just going to. That was such a blowout, such a beat. They were down.
I don't remember him making any plays in that game.
See,
I remember him getting the crap kicked out of him.
They didn't need
to. 10. It's a small sample size for sure, but was about as good as you could expect from a rookie corner.
They didn't need to. They didn't have to throw. It was all short fields. Mac was throwing pick sixes. They ran the ball down their throats. They couldn't score in the red zone, if I remember right. Like, the Cowboys could not score. They kicked a lot of field goals in that game. How could you tell anything from that game? It was the biggest beatdown, arguably, of the year.
Was it the worst loss of Belichick's career?
At the time.
38-3, I think it was.
Did it wind up remaining that way? I don't recall.
Oh, the Saints was the next week after.
Those two weeks were unbelievable. So, like, how could you take anything away from that game? It wasn't a competitive game. The Cowboys didn't need to throw to CeeDee Lamb. How does that tell you anything about Christian Gonzalez? 617-779-7937. We'll continue with all your feedback, and we'll get more into Jerod Mayo and how we feel about his approach to this team this season. That's next.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.